Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to the April 11th meeting of the Board of Education, and I would ask our superintendent to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Turning to item three, changes in the meeting agenda, there is one. We're going to have a renumbering of in item 9D, personal matters. Instruction will be D2, and personal matters, non-instruction will be D3, and we have a new D1, affirmation of decision directing a rehearing. Okay? Now, turning to the item that we like most at every meeting is student and staff recognition.
Good evening, everyone. It's my pleasure to introduce our principal of Nascaig Elementary School, Ms. Gail Cassiano.
Is this on?
Yes.
Good evening, everyone. It's my pleasure to be here tonight and welcome Kevin Duong. Kevin is a third grader in Mrs. Bonifacio's class at Nascaig School, and Mrs. Bonifacio is very disappointed that she couldn't be here tonight. She had childcare arrangements that she just could not make. Kevin is a master chess player. Kevin is also a competitive swimmer. He was recently recognized as the co-champion at the New York State Scholastic Chess Competition. This is going to be very hard for me to say. He will be representing the U.S. at the 2018 Pan American Chess Championship in July in Santiago, Chile, having all of his expenses paid. Kevin's dad taught him how to play chess at 6 years old. Kevin's now 8. Kevin told me that he can now beat his dad. He did say that. Kevin also shared his secret. He told me that it's thinking and tactics. I play 15% strategy, and the rest is tactics. Not being a chess player, I don't even know what that means. I think it's good that we have the secret, though. Kevin, we're so proud of him. We wish him continued success as he goes to the Pan American Games to represent the United States this July, and continued success at Nascaig. He's a great student, and we're happy to have him. So thank you for honoring him tonight.
Kevin, we are very proud of you, and we know we're going to hear much more about you in the future. So best of luck in Chile. Our next individual will be Dr. Alan Baum, principal of Ward Melville High School.
The National Merit Scholarship Program honors individual students who show exceptional academic ability and potential for success in rigorous college studies. About 1.6 million juniors in more than 22,000 high schools across the United States entered the 2018 National Merit Scholarship Program by taking the preliminary SAT National Merit Scholarship Qualifying Test, otherwise known as the PSAT. The nationwide pool of semifinalists represent less than 1% of all U.S. high school seniors, including the highest scoring entrants from each state. To become a finalist, the semifinalist and his or her high school must submit a detailed scholarship application in which they provide information about the semifinalist's academic record, participation in school and community activities, demonstrated leadership abilities, employment, and honors and awards received. A semifinalist must have an outstanding academic record throughout high school, be endorsed and recommended by a high school official, write an essay, and earn SAT scores that confirm the student's earlier performance on the qualifying PSAT test. National Merit finalists compete for 7,500 National Merit Scholarships worth more than $32 million. I am very not that one or two or even three tests is a proper measure of a student, but these seven students that we are recognizing here tonight are some of the best students at Ward Melville High School. So we'd like to congratulate our finalists in the 2018 National Merit Scholarship Program. And your list doesn't. Leon Zhao.
Leon.
That's all right. Samuel Tan. Michael Liu. Ethan Lee. Emily Huang. Thomas Howell. And Kathleen Esfahani. This really is part of the best part of my job, is just recognizing all kinds of student achievements. On January 4th, Regeneron announced 300 semifinalist scholars selected from over 1,700 research submissions. The Regeneron Science Talent Search is a program of the Society for Science and the Public. It's the nation's most prestigious pre-college science competition. Alumni of STS have made extraordinary contributions to science and hold more than 100 of the world's most distinguished science and math honors, including the Nobel Prize and National Medal of Science. Each year, 300 Regeneron STS scholars and their schools are recognized. I am so proud that we have two semifinalists. I'm not going to announce the name. I'm going to allow Dr. Kula in a minute. But I just want to read the titles to you, and they can explain what it really means. So forgive me if I mispronounce this, but it just shows you the depth of their research. A novel insight on the effect of 111 trichloroethane contamination has on pathophysiological formation of Alzheimer's disease, and microRNAs contribute to angiotensin II mediated regulation of transmural electrical remodeling in the heart. It's a mouthful. Dr. Kula, would you please come up here and introduce? Dr. Kula is the director of our INSTAR program, and she has done a remarkable job with our science research program. Dr. Kula.
Thanks. I like that there's no podium. This is nice, because I never knew what to do with the podium. Listen, there's a coincidence here, because every one of the National Merit Honors are INSTAR students as well, so I think maybe it's because of INSTAR. No, okay. Anyway. Nice coincidence, though. And Kevin, I'll be seeing you in, what, T-minus about 6 years? Mm-hmm. Nice. So Alan was nice enough to pronounce the titles of Emily and Michael's papers this year. And not to take anything away from Emily and Michael being semifinalists for the Regeneron competition, this year's INSTAR class, I have to say, is just outstanding. Every one of the students in this room, not only honored for their merit, were also honored for other science competitions. And you know, in the fall, we had two additional students who were here who were honored by the Siemens competition. So we have Long Island Science and Engineering Fair finalists. We have the Long Island Science Congress coming up. So we still have more fairs that we're going to, and I'm sure many more accolades that we'll be sharing with the district. But this year's class in particular, I have to say, and many of them are sitting here, they really hit it out of the park this year. We have 20 seniors in the program, and all of them are absolutely outstanding. So getting back to their projects. Emily Huang worked on a really novel project, and the nice thing about her project is that it really relates to something that is immediately understandable by the general public. She looked at the contamination of groundwater by that chemical that Alan told you about, 111-trichloroethane, which is more commonly called TCA. And she was able to do an elaborate series of really elegant experiments on C. elegans, which is a little nematode, a little tiny microscopic worm that lives in dirt, and a variety of other experiments that showed that TCA contamination in our water and then us drinking that water could potentially lead to the development of Alzheimer's. So her project is obviously inherently important to the overall health of humans. And Michael's project has more to do with the human condition in terms of heart disease. And so he looked at, electrical remodeling of the heart is essentially what the heart does to contract during a beat cycle. And so Michael's going to tell you a little bit about what he did using microRNAs use them as a potential target to study heart failure mechanisms and possibly therapeutic applications in the future for those of us with unfortunate cardiac issues. So both of these projects are awesome because they can be applied directly to making the world a better place, and they're not so esoteric that you can't understand what's the purpose of them. They're very, very, you know, relevant. So I'd like to welcome Michael Liu, you've met him once before, and Emily Huang back up here so we can honor you. So can you give us the layman's just a layman's quick little blurb?
I think you did it pretty well. So just like Dr. Kula said, my project basically studied a chemical called TCA that's in our groundwater on Long Island, and I basically studied through four different pathways how TCA can affect the production of amyloid beta, which is very characteristic of Alzheimer's disease. So amyloid beta, when it's overproduced in the brain, leads to different symptoms such as loss of motor function and loss of cognitive function because it's toxic in large amounts. So I found that TCA was able to increase amyloid beta production, and also it could increase the toxicity of amyloid beta when it was introduced to a system. So that's basically my project. I worked in SUNY Old Westbury.
Hey everyone. So my project focused on basically examining the molecular mechanisms for electrical activity in the heart. That's in simple terms. So what we know right now is that there are multiple ionic currents in the heart, and they're regulated transmurally. So depending on which layer of the heart you're in, it has different biophysical properties. And we know that the protein angiotensin II plays a major role in regulating these transmural differences. And so along with my mentor, I decided to investigate microRNAs, which are a hot topic. And so using microRNA analysis, I looked at how microRNAs may contribute to this regulation of ionic currents in the heart. And with further research, it could be a potential target for drug therapies that can treat using microRNAs to target heart failure in the heart. I worked with Dr. Ira Cohen at Stony Brook.
very impressive, and congratulations to all. We are extremely proud of you. I'd now like to introduce our Executive Director of Health, Physical Education, Recreation, and Athletics, Mr. Peter Mallory.
It's a little intimidating after following that. I'm still trying to memorize the periodic table. But I want to thank the Board of Education, our central administration, for giving us a second chance to honor one of our teams from the winter season. As you know, last time our swim team couldn't be here because they were training for nationals, and I'm glad you get to meet them tonight. It was an incredible season, as we talked about last time, and we're going to let Coach Gordon and Coach Perfetti come up and talk about the team. Guys, you want to come up? Okay. And I know Coach will talk about the team. I just want to say what I learned in this community so far is that the commitment to swimming is second to none between our own community swim program that we provide and the Three Village Swim Club, which is so efficiently run by Mr. Kaplan, who I'm glad is here tonight, to see them go from the little kids and work up to our junior high and eventually be in Coach Gordon, Coach Perfetti's hands and have it culminate in a state championship is really special. It's a great example of what a community can do from the ground up, and it makes it extra special tonight. Go ahead, Coach.
Good evening. Thanks very much for having us tonight. I don't want to do this to poor Kevin, but Kevin, you got a full day ahead of you down the road, so you're going to meet some of the best swimmers that Ward Melville has ever had in just a moment.
Can I raise this? Okay, there we go. I'm going to hold this at the same time, so. Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite each of the boys up one at a time as I go through the list of their accolades right now. I'm going to begin by asking Captain David Hee to come up. He was an all-league, all-county, all-Long Island, and all-state winner. David, just step off to the side over here for us, okay? Also, senior captain Ryan Kaplan was also all-league, all-county, all-Long Island, and all-state honors. Senior captain Cameron Kubik, all-league, all-county, all-Long Island, and all-state. Senior captain Lucas Zurich, all-league, all-county, all-Long Island, and all-state. Senior Nick Bogish, all-league, all-county, all-Long Island. A.J. Bances, all-league. And missing from this year's state team this evening are Jared Goldstein, junior J.P. Dillon, and junior Kevin Zhu. They were all-league honor winners. At the state meet, each individual swimmer and relay team has an opportunity to earn a state title. Points are awarded to each swimmer up to 20th place in all events. This scoring system is used to determine the top high school team and the overall county or section winner in New York State. This group of boys were the New York State team champions who led Suffolk County to a first place finish in the sectional scoring as well. David, Ryan, Luca, Cameron led our group to the state team title, earning a state championship in the 200-yard medley relay. This was the most exciting race I have ever had the pleasure to witness. Now, I've been coaching here for 24 years, and I swam through college and in high school. I had goosebumps. I was so excited at the finish of this race. I wish I could go through it, but I will not. In addition, they are now also the Long Island record holders in the 400-yard freestyle relay. This relay finished in second place at the state meet, getting touched out by only 0.04 of a second. That's 0.04. Our boys and the team that touched us out both finished well under the previous New York State public high school record time. The final note I would like to include is regarding our school records. There are 13 events listed on our record board. Two of those events are for diving. The remaining 11 events have been broken by
these boys right here.
I just want to say in closing, for me, coaching as long as I have, I've been able to see other state swimmers, other state champions. I've had other state champions. I have now seen the girls' and boys' record boards turned over completely in my time here. A lot of that, I will not take the credit for that. I do commend the swim club and their support. These boys swim year-round. I only get them for a very small portion of their year, but in that time, they give me 100% of their effort. These are the best group of swimmers I've ever coached, boys or girls. Now, I've been here, like I said, 24 years. In that time, the girls have won 22 county championships. That's a lot of winning. This is the best group I've ever coached. So here they are. Thank you.
Again, thank you and have a good evening.
Congratulations again to our outstanding athletes. So I'd now like to introduce my colleague, Mr. Jeffrey Carlson.
Thank you. As some of you may have noticed, we had some pretty unusual weather this winter and into the spring. And it's really taken a lot to make sure our schools have been ready to open. Even on the days that we've had to close, it's not because our parking lots and sidewalks weren't ready. It's because of road conditions. A lot of work went into that. And tonight, we'd just like to recognize a few people who really have gone above and beyond, including doing some overnight shifts at our schools just to make sure everything was ready in the morning. I get texts from some of these guys at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Not that I'm awake at that time, but just when I see them when I wake up in the morning to let me know what's going on. Some cases it's construction related. Some cases it's just weather. And really, these guys do an unbelievable job. Including, if you remember the snowstorm that came out of nowhere, when I saw the 11 o'clock news the night before and they said a coating to an inch. Well, I got up at 4:30 the next morning just to check and I saw 5 or 6 inches of snow on the ground and there were already text messages from these guys. They were out getting our schools ready in case we needed to open. So we just want to say thank you and recognize you tonight. We have... We actually have one of the people that we invited is not able to make it here tonight, Sean Nolan. The other four, though, is James O'Hagan, our Director of Facilities, Larry Opperly, who is our Assistant Director of Facilities, Vinny Inga, who is our Head Custodian at Mountain Elementary School, and Jason Langoletti is there you are, in the back over there. So we just want to say thank you, and we have certificates for you, too, if you'd like to. Please come on up.
We really are very fortunate in Three Village to have such a wonderful maintenance and operations staff. So we thank them for their incredible effort. We know that our high school students in particular are up at the crack of dawn. So we would not, you're certainly welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting, but we would not be insulted if at this point you felt that you wanted to leave. That would be totally understandable. So we would give you that opportunity. Thank you so much, and again, we're so proud of all of you.
Okay, I'd like to turn now to item 5, the minutes of March 8th and 14th, 2018. May I have a motion on that, please? Mr. Kornreich, second. Inger. Any discussion, questions about the minutes? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Those minutes are approved. Turning to item 6, the student representative report. There'll be no report this evening since we don't have a student representative this evening. Okay. And item 7, items for board discussion, the proposed 2018-19 budget. Mr. Carlson?
Thank you. I'm just going to go over the numbers on the budget. A lot of the details we've gone over at the last couple of meetings. Just to give a little bit of information, the tax cap, which you know we all read about all the time, and just to remind everybody, it's even though it's sometimes called the 2% tax cap, it is not 2%. It varies from district to district and year to year. There are a number of factors that go into determining what the cap is, and for us, for this coming up year, it is 1.97%. And the budget that we are recommending that the board adopt tonight it does not exceed that cap, and we did not have to reduce any programs or services strictly to comply with that cap. There's some changes we made based on an enrollment, that kind of thing, but not for budget tax cap purposes. In case anybody's interested, this is the calculation of the tax cap. Not that I would. Anyone wants to go over that in detail, but that's so it's not a 2% tax cap. That's the calc. There's somewhere in there is a 2%. State aid, as you may have seen in the news, the New York State budget has been finalized by the governor and New York State legislature, which is nice. It's always nice when we know what our state aid will be in the upcoming year at budget time. If you remember, there was a period of time, I think it was 25 years in a row or 20 years in a row, the state budget was late, sometimes as late as August, and we still didn't know how much state aid we were getting. So it's nice when the state budget is completed on time. In the final state budget, our aid is increasing by about $833,000, which is a little more than we thought. Which is nice. It's always nice when it goes up. Honestly, I kind of was thinking somewhere in the $500,000 range. So this is good news. It's about a 2.5% increase. So despite sometimes what it, the way it gets portrayed as record amounts of state aid and record increases in state aid, if you look, compare it to 10 years ago, the average annual increase comes out to about 0.8% over the last 10 years. So that state aid itself has not kept pace with inflation. So it makes it more difficult for us to deal with. But we're happy that it's going up this coming up year. That's good news. The staffing changes, which we went over in some detail at the last meeting, really just results from decline in enrollment, some reduction of positions, about two full-time equivalent teaching positions at the elementary, mainly due to enrollment. At the secondary level, based on course requests and enrollment changes, there are some increases, slight increases and decreases among various subject areas. When it all gets factored out together, it comes out to a reduction of 2 to 3 FTEs at the secondary level. And then we're, as we also we went over at the last meeting, some administrative restructuring, which results in the reduction of two administrative positions. The pre-kindergarten program, we're going to continue. It's been a great success for the current year. The format for next year will be the same at Nassaukeag Elementary School, up to 10 classes, and it could be 5 in the morning, 5 in the afternoon, 2.5 hours per day. If we have more than 200 applicants, then it would be lottery-based. I don't know if we'll get 200 applicants. Doesn't look like it, but we'll be coming up soon on the date when the initial applications are due, so it doesn't look like we'll be above 200, so we will not need to do a lottery. Same as this year, 4 years old by December 1st, no cost to the parents, and if we had the whole 200 kids, it would be 5 teaching positions. Last year, we changed the polling locations, mainly for safety and security purposes. As most of you know, we cannot ask for ID or even screen people when they're coming into a building to vote. So we wanted to move it out of the elementary schools, where it's much harder to segregate the voting areas. So we will once again have the voting at Ward Melville High School, Murphy Junior High School, and Gelinas Junior High School. It worked pretty well last year, and we're going to continue again for this coming up year. So the budget that we have put together has a dollar increase of a little over $5.3 million, which represents a 2.62% increase. And the tax levy, as I mentioned, does not exceed the tax cap, and it is the 1.97% increase, which is a little under $3 million. And because it does not exceed the cap, it requires a simple majority, meaning 50% plus one of the voters that vote to vote yes in order for the budget to pass. If the budget doesn't pass, same as in the last several years, the options are go straight to contingency, put a second budget up for a revote. If the second budget up for, that goes up for a revote would be on the third Tuesday in June, it could be the same or a revised budget. But either way, if we do not have a passed budget, we go to contingency, and that means no increase to the tax levy at all. And that means from what we're proposing, we would have to cut $3 million from the budget in order to comply with the cap for next year if we do not have a passed budget. So tonight the board adopts the budget. Tomorrow I transmit the property tax report card to the State Education Department. Starting next week, the superintendent and myself will be doing a lot of presentations at PTA and Civic Association meetings. May 2nd, we have the budget hearing. We'll be here. Last several years, we've had that first May board meeting at Murphy Junior High School, and the reason for that is because we have AP testing here. AP testing starts the week later, so we will have the budget meeting. Budget hearing and that board meeting here, and then May 15th is the budget vote from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. So that's all I have on that, unless anybody has any questions.
Any questions, comments from my colleagues? Moving right along, if we could turn to item 8, the adoption of the 2018-19 recommended budget and property tax report card. May I have a motion on that, please? Mr. Germano, second Mrs. Gish. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? The motion is approved unanimously. Turning to item 9, items of board discussion, D1, the new D1 that I mentioned before, the affirmation of decision directing a rehearing. May I have a motion on that? Mrs. Gish, second Mrs. Germano. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning now to personnel matters instructional, which is the new D2. May I have a motion on that, please? Mr. Germano, second. Mrs. Gish. All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? The motion passes. Gary, anything?
I do have one thing here to announce. Sadly, Joyce Leiden, our nurse at Ward Melville High School, a mainstay up there, who's been with us since 1999, will be retiring.
And turning to D3, personnel matters non-instructional. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Germano, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to item E, the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education Subcommittee and Accommodation 504 plan meetings for the meeting dates stated. May I have a motion on that, please? Ms. Pavinker, second. Mrs. Gish, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. And turning to F, the recommendations of the Committee on Preschool Special Education for the meeting dates stated. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Germano, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to item 10. Informational items of interest. Are there any items that we'd like to bring to our colleagues' attention this evening? Seeing none, I'd like to turn to public participation. Public participation can last up to 30 minutes in length, and we ask each individual to limit his or her comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing none, may I have a motion for adjournment? Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Gish, all in favor? Unanimous. Good evening, everyone.